Foreign opinion reacted to the trial with incredulity. European intellectuals saw it as further evidence that America was gripped by irrational fears. "How can the independent experimental mind survive in such an atmosphere?" asked R.H.S. Crossman in The New Statesman and Nation, Britain's leading liberal weekly. In Paris, when Chevalier received his copy of the hearing transcript, shipped to him by Oppenheimer himself, he read portions of the document out loud to André Malraux. Both men were struck by Oppenheimer's strange passivity in the face of his interrogators. Malraux was particularly troubled that Oppenheimer had freely answered questions about the political views of his friends and associates. The hearing had turned him into an informer. "The trouble was," Malraux told Chevalier, "he accepted his accuser's terms from the beginning. He should have told them, at the very outset, 'Je suis la bombe atomique.' He should have stood on the ground that he was the builder of the atom bomb, that he was a scientist and not an informer." Initially, Oppenheimer seemed destined to become a pariah, at least in mainstream circles. For nearly a decade, he had been more than just a famous scientist. Once a ubiquitous and influential public figure, now he was suddenly gone, still alive, but disappeared. As Robert Coughlin later wrote in Life magazine, "After the security hearings of 1954, the public character ceased to exist. He had been one of the most famous men in the world, one of the most admired, quoted, photographed, consulted, glorified, well-nigh deified as the fabulous and fascinating archetype of a brand new kind of hero, the hero of science and intellect, originator and living symbol of the new atomic age. Then, suddenly, all the glory was gone, and he was gone too."